It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Jonah, and we're studying the fourth chapter. And so please open your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, and we'll continue and look at that study. So please that you open your Bibles and turn there. It's a very short book, very small book, but it's so powerful. And so please that you enjoy the study with us. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717 is the phone number. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And last and most important, if you would like to visit our website, we have many studies of the Word of God to be found there. We have our Constitution and the Plan of Salvation, and that is Parkview Bible Church, parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. So please enjoy that study. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Jonah, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take I beseech thee my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for that which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and also much cattle? Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of God's precious word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together today and enjoy this precious study. I ask that you will just guide and lead us through the study. We need your power and your strength. Without knowing you as our personal Savior, we're just reading a book. But when we know you as our personal Savior, and you have sent the Spirit, we enjoy, Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes to live within our hearts and gives us that direction and strength and guides us right to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Before we're saved, it comes and directs us. And then when we are saved, Father, you put him right in our hearts to be with us forever, sealed. Thank you, dear Father, for all the blessings you've given us. Show us your way and will, and show us your precious word today, that we may be saved if we're not, and be growing in your precious word if we are saved. It's such a short time we have to serve, and to praise and honor your name, and we need to be about doing your business. Please guide and lead us today through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful book. I love and enjoy the book of Jonah. It takes most folks just a few minutes, literally, to read this book and then to go on about their business. Many times this book is when it's preached in one message. It is impossible to exhaust everything that is in this precious book in such a short period of time, and that's the reason that we take our time and we enjoy this precious time being together. And we know what has taken place now. Again, Jonah ran away. Jonah was told the mariners, you know, just throw me overboard, and so he did. And as we study the book, we find more and more out about Jonah. And in turn, we should be seeing more and more of us and what we do or we do not do in the service of the Lord. Now, Jonah is saved. Jonah's a prophet of God. And so let's start out right there. Jonah has been to the cross. Now you say, "Well, my, we're 800, you know, between 800 and 900 years before the birth of Christ." Well, everyone in the Old Testament was saved exactly the same way we're saved. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, touches the heart, and then a decision needs to be made. Jonah chose to be a child of God. He chose to believe in the coming Messiah. We look back because he has come 2,000 years ago. But he's looking forward this 860-plus years. He's looking forward to the Messiah that's going to come. So in the case of Jonah, by the time Jesus died on the cross, would be about 900 years. Still, the same Jesus, the same person, personal relationship. And what a joy it is to be a child of God. Now, in the case of the Old Testament people, the Holy Spirit would come up on them to empower them. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit indwells the hearts of the believer. And so that is the only difference. But they're saved the same way. So Jonah, at some point in time, we're not told how or when, got saved. And he was serving the Lord. We have other mentions of his of him being a prophet of God, and God has called him now to go to Nineveh and preach to this city. Well, we know that he ran away and got swallowed by the fish, and then we had that beautiful picture, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, showing us the same as the Lord Jesus being 3 days and three nights in the grave before he rose from the dead. We have the same picture here of Jonah raising from the dead, literally, because he was swallowed by this fish. We have the depths in verse chapter 2 there, deals with that quite a little bit. And then we find that God wasn't finished with him yet. So now, I'm going to give you another opportunity. And our God is a God of the second chance. He is always giving us another chance. And so if you think, boy, I've done something that can never be forgiven, I can never be a servant of God, God is a God of the second chance. And so just turn to him, ask him to forgive you and set you on your path of serving him and praising him. Again, first of all, you need to be saved. Come by faith to Jesus. Trust in him. He died on the cross and took your sins away. Shed his blood for you. Now, please trust in him and walk with him each day. And so we find that this has all taken place now in Jonah's life. But Jonah now, every time it seems like we have a reference of Jonah, it's God's telling him to get up. Arise. He keeps telling him to arise. We're not sure what's happened to Jonah. Jonah has gotten into a position or a place where it would seem that he is more satisfied to please himself than to do what the Lord would desire him to do. He seems like that he is always kind of sitting back. It's like, okay, you know, I'm X amount of years. I'm retirement age, and so boy, I'm gonna quit. I've worked so hard at the church all these years. It's time for somebody else, my dear friend. There's plenty of work to do. There is always work to do. There's always souls to save. There's always work to be done. There's always opportunities to serve the Lord, no matter what our age may be. But for us to sit back and to, we should be directing and helping the young people as we get older, that we can help and to grow and pick these folks up. I have loved and enjoyed this. The ministry of the radio, of preaching God's word, of teaching. It's a joy each and every day, the opportunities that have been given me to proclaim the word of God. And I hope that folks will heed those words, and the Spirit of God can use those words and save souls and strengthen you and pick you up. That's what Jonah should have been doing. Instead of that, again, each time, chapter 3, it says, arise, and each time, it's just, this time when he was told to go to Nineveh, he went. Okay, now Jonah finally's got his heart right and everything is working well. Well, what we've just read doesn't seem like that's very pleasing, because it said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. How in the world could you be angry when a whole city turns to the Lord Jesus, to the coming Messiah? They have repented of their sins. They have demonstrated that. Isn't it something how through the time Jonah has acquired such a dislike and to a point of a hatred for these people? And on Jonah's behalf, rightly so. It was easy to hate them. They were a very, very wicked people. The things that history tells us that these folks of Nineveh and Assyria, what they have, the things that they have done, the evil, it was easy to hate them. Plus, Jonah's a Jew and they're Gentile, and so there's a rift there, there's a conflict there on top of it. But one of the big things was that the city was so evil and the people were so evil. But God sent this messenger, and the messenger was named Jonah. And he went, and he proclaimed the message, in 40 years Nineveh shall be over, or 40 years, 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. We've talked in the past that's the grace of God. God could have just destroyed. He didn't need to send a messenger over there, but he wanted to give them a chance, you see. And so he sent Jonah to give them that chance. And we need to do the same thing. We need to take the precious word out, because that'll give people that do not know our Lord and Savior a chance. We need to proclaim that gospel so simple and so clear, and let the Spirit of God do his work and save them. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what Jonah was supposed to be doing. But he had a message that was kind of strange. He didn't say, you know, Jesus loves you. There's a Messiah that's coming. And that Messiah is going to die. He's going to die on the tree, which the cross. And he's going to die there, and he's going to take your sin away. Now, would you please come by faith to him and be saved? Just believe in him. Believe in him, and you'll have salvation. You'll be saved. Your sin's taken away. That wasn't the message that Jonah gave. Jonah's message was, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, you would think with the hatred that Jonah has for these people that would be a message that he would rush over there to give them. I'm going to tell you about the judgment that's coming, and hang on, because God's going to deliver. In 40 days, this is going to happen. Well, something miraculously, something wonderful happened in the city of Nineveh. Those words that God sent, it gave to Jonah, and Jonah sent to them, with the power of God, it convicted their hearts so that they just fell on their knees and said, "Oh God, please, please forgive us." And it wasn't, as we have read, it's not that God. We know God's going to turn. You know, He'll forgive us. It was that He might. You know, let's proclaim a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from the throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and the nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." And who can tell if God will turn and repent of what he's going to do to us? True repentance. Now, again, we see such a hatred that Jonah has for these people. He did follow through. He took the second chance. God gave him a second chance to go to proclaim the word. And what a great result. The city was saved. God didn't promise. The words weren't there. If you repent, this is what's going to happen. But they did. And we know that God hears the prayers of a sinner. I'm condemned to die. I'm condemned already, the Scripture tells me. So how can we resolve that? We can resolve that by coming to Jesus by faith. That's been put into place for us, as it was for the Old Testament folks. If they would repent, then that answer is there. And God sent the word, and these people turned from their wicked ways, and God spared them, just like He spared me when I trusted Him as my Savior. He spared me from death and eternity in hell. He has spared me from that. He has sent me on a path to walk with Him and given me the directions and all the tools to walk a path of righteousness. Oh, do I fail? Most certainly. But He set me on that path, and He gives me the tools and gives me the strength. What a joy it is to be a Christian and to walk each day with Him. Jonah was given the tools, given everything he needed, and those that power went out, and these people repented and turned to the Lord Jesus. Now, once again, getting back to it, I spend so much time talking about this, but it's so important that we see then what happens to Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was wrath. He was angry. Oh, he was mad. Now, how can he be mad when he watches? And again, we've talked about the numbers. You know, it could be 600 up to 800,000 people, because we have 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left. And so that's the children. They're too young to know. And so figuring that into the formula, why we're feeling like that there was thousands and thousands of people in this tri-city area. We've talked about that, you know, the Nineveh's in the middle, and there's the suburbs around. And so he traveled this day's journey in, and it takes 3 days to travel through the city, it says, Scripture tells us. And so a mighty city. And so Jonah preaches the message of God. But what has happened here? And he prays to the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before Tarshish." You see, there's a conversation here in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2, that we had not been, we didn't have before. There must have been a conversation that God had with Jonah before he ever left and ran to Tarshish. Because I told you this is what you were going to do. Those people are evil. They have no right to have your grace or receive your benefits of salvation. They are so evil. And God, I know you. And if they turn, you're gonna turn to from your anger. And so I don't even want to go tell him. I don't want to go tell him. And that's what this is telling us here. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled to Tarshish. I was not going to tell them, because I know you're a gracious God and a merciful God and slow to anger, and the kindness and the repentance that you were going to give to these people. I knew you were going to do that. See, Jonah had no desire for these people to be saved, none whatsoever. And so we have this conversation, and you know he was very angry. And then down here in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Now, we're not sure what brought this on. Jonah is a prophet. How do we know when a prophet was a true prophet? It's when the words that he spoke came to be true. Jonah set a specific time period, 40 days, and you're going to be overthrown. 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Jonah, even though it appears that he had kind of got a little on the lazy side here, and it appears that he'd lost the heart of God. He still saved, yes, but he lost the desire for souls. He had such a hatred. And, you know, we can do that. We can acquire in our lives a displeasure or a dislike or even a hatred for a group of people, maybe someone from a different country, maybe someone that their skin is a different color. We can develop that. We should not. The love of God that we should have, we should take the gospel out to no matter where they're from or what color their skin may be. Oh, Jesus died for all of you, all of us, everyone. And we need to bring that precious gospel and see you saved and enjoy the privileges of being a Christian, having the joy and the patience and the peace and the strength and the knowledge and everything that God gives us. It is so wonderful, wonderful to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should not be kept from anyone. I know folks that curse God, that hate God, that curse this church. They have no desire that this church would ever reach out and win anyone for the Lord Jesus. They would rather that it be destroyed because of the witness that we have for the Lord Jesus. But we should never let their hatred for us turn in to our hatred against them. We should always have a desire to tell them about the Lord Jesus. If God would open the door, if he would open the door for us to share the gospel with them, and if they, by some wonderful miracle, which is every individual that's ever saved is a wonderful miracle, if a wonderful miracle would happen, and that person would turn and repent, would we be angry, or would we look at them as, is it true? Now, see, that's kind of what Jonah, I think, did when he went up on top of the hill. I think he was going to stand back and see. Now, this isn't true. They got a little fear in them right now, but this isn't true repentance. So you just watch them, because they're going to fall right back into it again. I know they will. That's the response that a lot of times we give when we hear that someone has just gotten saved. Well, we'll just wait and see. We'll wait and see whether they actually go. We'll see whether there's any fruit there. Well, there should be fruit. And many people do, I'm sad to say the words, but their heart was not changed. So that's a possibility. But at the same time, we are not the judge. We are to bring them, and then we are to feed them after they got saved, And then it's up to them whether they make the decision to grow or not. And it's up to them whether they meant it or not. But we're not the judge. We're the deliverer of that wonderful message, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Jonah forgot that. Jonah forgot that he was the messenger. He was not the judge. But again, I think there's a lot of pride involved here. Number one, he's a Jew going to the Gentiles, didn't want to do that. Next thing is, he's a prophet, and a prophet that made a statement that in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. Now, it appears like that's not going to happen. Now, what's that do to me? Well, Jonah's prophecy was true, because there is a period of time when Jonah is, when Nineveh is destroyed. It comes to pass, not in the 40 days that was proclaimed here, but it does come to pass, sad to say. And the question may come, was it not real then, when these folks seemed to have repented and turned? Is it not real? That's the question that many people could have. There was a period of time, and a matter of fact, there's a period of time when Assyria comes and takes away the northern 10 tribes. They come and capture them and bring them into captivity. So what's going on here? Well, we're responsible for each generation. I'm responsible for my generation. My children are responsible for the next generation. If they choose to get so tied up in the things of the world and even don't get saved, or they do get saved, but they don't have time. They don't have time for church. They don't have time to tell other people about Jesus. They just don't have time. They're so busy with the things of the world that they just plain don't have time. They kind of play church, so to speak. Well, what's going to happen to the next generation? What's happening to my generation? It's so sad today that the places that you can go to hear the truth. Now, you can go to a lot of places that they call themselves church, and you're entertained. Your ears are tickled. But do you hear the truth? Do you hear the Word of God? Because that's what's to be proclaimed. We have the precious word before us, and we're to speak it and speak it clearly. As we have the opportunity to visit with folks, it's so sad. So often we hear of how little that a person knows. And they've maybe been saved for many, many years, but because they landed in a place that did not teach the Word of God, and they stayed, and they stayed, and they stayed, thinking that, well, there's the word is preached a little bit. My dear friend, it's time. The time is so short. Jesus is coming. And if you're saved, you find a place that preaches the Word of God. Use the old King James. Stay with that precious word and proclaim it. Don't be sidetracked by all the activities and the fanfare that goes on today that makes you feel good. We need to come into the house of God. We need the Word of God to convict our hearts and to turn us to the Lord Jesus for salvation, and then to turn us from the ways of the world and begin that precious walk that He has given us the means to have. And so please, walk each day with the Lord Jesus. It's so sad here that Jonah was displeased. Jonah was angry. And therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life. He was so angry. And again, was it pride? And it appears like, God, you're not going to do what I told here. And so what's that going to make me look like? Instead of being so happy. And think about it. Don't we do the same thing? Someone crosses our path and it makes us a little angry, or someone gets the credit, or we say something. But here, this whole city, and how about if just one individual gets saved? You say, well, they don't deserve salvation. Well, I'm going to make something very clear. neither do you, and neither do I. We do not deserve the salvation and the grace and the peace and the joy that God gives us. We do not deserve it in any way, shape, or form. And so please don't ever use that statement that they don't deserve it for something they've said or done. My dear friend, please look to Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?